If you open up your Bibles to Luke 1, today we're going to, it's kind of a different sermon. Usually we will pick a text or a passage of text and we'll focus on that and we'll break it open and like an expositional type of sermon. Today is some would maybe call it topical. Because our topic today, as we go through many verses, we're looking to highlight the spirit of Christmas, which is the Holy Spirit, and to see how His activity is, is at Christmas. Now, to the world, I went to WikiHow, WikiHow.com. If you've ever, needed to put something together or fix something, how to do something, WikiHow it can tell you to do almost anything. I learned how to put guitar strings on a guitar through WikiHow. But they even got some points of how to be full of the spirit of Christmas. Some say, watch Christmas movies. And they had a long list. I'm going to share them with you. And no way am I saying that these things are wrong. And they do change the emotional mood around the holiday. And so I'm not saying that these are wrong. But this is how the world sees the spirit of Christmas. Get in contact with family and friends. Read books such as 'Twas the Night or The Grinch. Decorate as much as you can. That does not put me in any kind of good spirit. Make a list of what you want to accomplish before Christmas. Send out Christmas cards. Make a Christmas list of desired gifts. Make sure that everything is clean and uncluttered. Get a countdown or an advent calendar. Book some time off from work. Get creative with your meals. Green pancakes or red pancakes or just different things for be Christmassy. Use mistletoe. Use mistletoe with your spouse. Listen to Christmas music. Be generous to others. Give gifts. Smile to anything and everything. There you go. It said it. I could quote that. So there's different ways that we talk about the spirit of Christmas, and we'll maybe watch Christmas movies, and we'll hear that term, the spirit of Christmas. But and we see all these things, and these can things that we can do, and things that we can force ourselves to do, and many of these things will make us feel better. But at the end of putting this on, it leaves us with a January of just exhaustion of trying to be in the Christmas spirit in the midst of all the other things that we have to do. But today we're looking at the spirit of Christmas, and that focus is on the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we do know about the Holy Spirit, and if you're a guest with us today, we've examined the whole Holy Spirit recently, or in the past, different ways that we've looked at the Holy Spirit. Just as a reminder, though, of what we believe about the Holy Spirit. And so, first, we know that the Holy Spirit is God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's a triune nature of God that men have written volumes on, and there's not one yet that I believe truly understands it. Why? Because He's God. But the Holy Spirit is God. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We know that the Holy Spirit was involved in all of the creation. We see that in Genesis 1. I mean, you read into the second verse and you see that the Spirit of God is there. We associate the Spirit with Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was there. This is pre-Pentecost, but we also see the description of God the Creator all throughout Job, in several places of Job. It says, by His Spirit He made the heavens. As I just mentioned, the Pentecost, we see the Holy Spirit being sent at Pentecost. Pentecost, which is which was post Jesus' death and his resurrection, and he ascended into heaven, and 10 days later, the Pentecost came, which that means the Holy Spirit moved. And all through the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit moving into the lives of people. We believe that, well, we know the Holy Spirit lives inside of followers of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" We know that the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12 and from Romans 12, the Holy Spirit gives every believer of Christ a spiritual gift to be used for God's glory. We know that he is our guide, our counselor, he's our advocate, and he is the one who brings conviction of sin. And then we do know, again, as we mentioned, that there's a complete unity in the Godhead, where John 14:14, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit glorifies him. And then in John 6:38, Jesus says that he came to do the will of his Father. So we know it all points to God the Father, God's Son, God the Son. You'll find all throughout John 6 that he did not come to do his own will, but he came to do the will of the Father who sent him. And then in John 14, we see that Jesus starts teaching about the Holy Spirit, about when I go, I'm sending you a Spirit, a Comforter, one that will be with you, a Helper, and he will teach you all that I have told you, and he will glorify me. So the Holy Spirit brings conviction, points us to Christ. Christ restores us to God the Father. And so there's a quick lesson on the Holy Spirit, of what we believe, and there's so much more to that also. But we're also going to talk, but we're going to read some of the scriptures there that's going to talk about the angels of the Lord. They're common. They spoke to Mary, to Zechariah, to the shepherds, to Joseph in a dream, and just a warning there: the angels of the Lord. They're angels of who? The Lord. The angels of the Lord. So the angel is not the Holy Spirit. But we see that they are heavenly beings that God created that serve God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And this activity that we see in these passages, they were all delegated by God to carry out his good works. We'll see that they fulfill the role in this. And we see it mostly throughout Scripture of the role of messengers. And so we're about to go through several scriptures. You can follow along here, and it will be on the board with me, or you can follow along with me. I will attempt to go slow, at least at a rate that you can follow along, and I'll be very clear on where we're reading and where we're going. But we're going to start in Luke 1. We're going to skip around there. Again, not the normal way that we preach, but the whole purpose is we're looking for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is involved in what we would call the Christmas story, the historical account of Jesus coming to the earth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus as we open up your word and as we look at these passages today and tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'd open up our eyes, our hearts, our ears to the truth that you have about your Holy Spirit in Christmas. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read first Luke 1, verses 5 through 20. It says, "In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at this hour of the the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of the incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." Do you hear that? While still in his mother's womb, he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said to the angel, he said, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." We're going to move to verse 26 now. We're going to read a lot of scripture. Today's sermon is going to be mostly from reading from the Word of God, and then I will make some comments about it. And then 26:35, he says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary said, 'The angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered her and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you.'" The Holy Spirit, we see him again here. "And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." Now to verse 39 through 44. "Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how is it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy.'" Wow, that was the filling of the Holy Spirit that was prophesied. Moving to verses 57 to 68. "Now when the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son, her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, 'No, indeed, but he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name.' And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, 'His name is John.' And they were all astonished, and at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in the praise of God. Fear came on those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in the hill country of Judea. all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of this Lord was, the Lord was certainly with him. And his father Zacharias, we see here, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesying, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." If you want to put verse 80, and then we're going to go to Matthew. And then the child continued to grow and become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. All right, we are going to come back to Luke 2 if you have a pen or a bulletin you want to put there, and we're going to go to Matthew 1, or just follow along on the board. In Matthew 1. And in Matthew 1, we're going to read verses 18 through 21. Chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" And then if you kept your place, hopefully you did, let's go back to Luke 2. Luke 2, and we're going to read verses 8 through 20, and then 25 through 34. So in Luke 2, verse 8, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the multitude, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Then the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which had happened to which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, just as it had been told them. And then finally, verses 25 through 34. "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed by him, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise for many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed.'" So here we see the Christmas, parts of the Christmas story, that which we most likely or most often do not read on Christmas Eve services. And we will only read part of that tonight. We'll read about the shepherds, but most of it tonight is going to be focused on the birth of Christ. And but here we see Zechariah, Elizabeth, we see John being born, we see Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, we see Simeon, and all of these really can break out into weeks of sermons with all that is packed in there. But we see there's a common thing that is motivating this and setting all these actions into motion, and we heard it over and over and over again. It is the Holy Spirit. With Zechariah, with Elizabeth, with John. This is before the Pentecost had ever happened. It is before the birth of the church. But we see the Holy Spirit filling people, and we see even baby John in the womb being filled with the Spirit before he ever sets foot in this earth, or even takes his first literal breath with his lungs. He is filled with the Spirit. So all this work, and even the angels, we see the work of them. They are messengers of God's work in the world. And so we see all this, that what God is doing, the spirit of Christmas is one that made Christmas happen in the first place. The spirit of Christmas, that which we celebrate and we decorate and we illuminate and we feast over, it was all a rescue mission being put in place by God for his people. But the spirit of Christmas, if you're following along with your listening outline today, a brief sermon with these passages we just read. First, the spirit of Christmas, what we see, where we did not find on wikihow.com, but what we find is, first, the spirit of Christmas carries out the plans of God. The spirit of Christmas carries out the plans of God. We see in what we just read, there's a baby conceived. There's two babies conceived. One was a sinner. John needed repentance just like the rest of us. And we see that Elizabeth and Zacharias. Did you notice that Zacharias said, "I am old and my wife is in many of the years," or whatever. He never said his wife is old. You know, so wisdom there, guys. That's another sermon. And But we conceive, we see John was conceived through Zacharias. We see that Jesus was conceived through the Holy Spirit in a very miraculous way. And we see that it all carried out God's word. Zacharias, there's prophecies to that. I mean, John, there's prophecies to Zacharias and what he was saying. We see that Jesus fulfilled God's word and the prophecies that we find in the Old Testament. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was like 300 plus prophecies that were fulfilled only by the coming of Christ. He fulfilled that many prophecies. We see the Holy Spirit was dispatching angels to Zacharias, to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds, and carrying out again the plans of God. And we see the plan. We see the plan in Matthew 1:21, where the angel in the dream tells Joseph, he will save his people from his sins. Christmas is about redemption. It's about sanctification, about transformation. It's about the Holy Spirit or God, or the Holy Spirit carrying out the plans of God to bring in a place to where we will be restored to the original image in which we fell from in Genesis 3. The Holy Spirit, the spirit of Christmas, is that which carries out the plans of God. Next, we see that the spirit of Christmas, the Holy Spirit, carries out the plans of God, but also works in people's lives. Do you notice here that there are people involved in all of these? In Zacharias, I mean, just imagine what he went through. And he had to be quiet for quite some time, and you know, he was shut up, and we'd condemn him for lack of faith. But boy, the reality of it, we would probably be a lot like him. But Elizabeth, we see how she was filled with the Spirit, how baby John was filled with the Spirit, how Mary and Joseph, he's working through all of these lives, through Simeon, through shepherds. See, the plan of God and the spirit of Christmas will always include people. for whatever reason, we have seen over and over as we've focused on making disciples this year, we've seen over and over where God works in our lives for the purpose of passing it on and being conduits of God's love and of God's word and of God's mission. And then so here, Jesus was he kept working not just in these lives, but he worked beyond these lives, and he worked through these lives, and he set ripples into all of history to where we today, praise God, that we today, we've come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we know that the birth of Christ is a special thing, the life of Christ is a special thing, and we read about these people because of what God has done in their lives. So we see that we have a God who, again, that works through the lives, works through people's lives. And finally, we see that that the spirit of Christmas, where the spirit of Christmas, he carries out the plans of God, he works through people's lives, but we see that he glorifies God the Father. Remember those passages that I just read that the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ and Christ restores us to God the Father. It always goes back to glorifying God the Father. The Spirit of Christmas glorifies God the Father. We see some examples that we just read about. What did Elizabeth do when the Holy Spirit came? She cried out in a loud voice. Not just a loud voice, but what we just read, she was praising God. She was praising God. You know, most of us tend to be on the quiet side of things when it comes to worship. But I tell you, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, it's okay to shout out with a loud voice in the way that glorifies God. We see baby John. What did he do? He's all tucked away in that warm room. What did he do? The scripture says he leapt in his mother's womb. What that looked like, and if it was really a leap or just a roll or whatever, or a good old kick, I don't know. But we see it glorified God the Father. It led Elizabeth and Mary both to glorify God. Mary's song, or Mary's hymn, or the Magnificat that we looked at about 3 weeks ago in detail. We see it led Mary to just worship the Lord. We see Zacharias, after that period of being quiet, when he spoke out what the Holy Spirit would say to him, his name will be John. What happened? He was filled with the Spirit, and it says that he praised God, and that he was so overflowing with the Spirit that he began to what? He began to prophesy. He began to prophesy over his own child and began to prophesy about the coming Messiah. And then, and that was in verse 64 of Luke 1. And then shepherds, what did the shepherds do? First they were afraid, and then they went and saw it, and they began glorifying and praising God. We found that in Luke 2. And they began glorifying and praising God, and there's something else that we overlook. And they were telling others about what they had heard. To the spirit of Christmas cries out with a loud voice and praise. It leaps, if you're able. It praises God, and if you have the gift of prophecy, let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. The shepherds, it glorifies. And the shepherds, the spirit of Christmas in us always glorifies God. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's not about the sweater. It's not about this. It's always about, how are we glorifying God in Christmas? And then as disciples of Christ, just like the shepherds who at this time, well, I don't know about their spiritual nature here, it doesn't say that, but what we do know is that they were telling others about Jesus Christ. We'll say happy holidays, or we'll give gifts, this or that, but the main thing is already telling them about the redemption of Jesus Christ and what God has done for them. We talked about Mary, and what did she do? She humbly submitted. And she just meditated. She pondered these things in her heart about the things of God. And then Simeon, we see Simeon there. It says he was filled with the Spirit. What did he do? He blessed God. It always, all these things, all of them pointed back to God being glorified. The spirit of Christmas glorifies God the Father. One that I left in my notes, but I shortened the thing. There's Anna. we could have kept reading after Simeon. There's a widow that joined Simeon there, if you want to read that. And she had been married for 7 years, and then her husband passed away, and she had been worshiping and glorifying God the whole time. And it says that she gave thanks to God. It led her again to glorify God. And then she too, like the shepherds, went out and began telling everybody the things that she knew about Jesus Christ. And so again, that brings us to the big idea today about the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is the same spirit that is working in our lives and our own world every day. Christmas time, for some of us it can be a little bit heavier. For some of us it might be a spring in the step. We get the sweater out, we get the Christmas tree up, we get decorations and all the things that that really are fun, but spiritually have no significance. But the Holy Spirit, though, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit of Christmas, the things that we worship, the things that we celebrate, the things that we talk about, it is the same Spirit that works in our lives all year long. So try to capture, why are you feeling the way that you're feeling? Why do you get more excited about this or that? Is it the rescue of us from our sins through the redemption of Jesus, or through the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ? What motivates the spirit of Christmas? That's a better question. What motivates the spirit of Christmas inside of you? And how, and I guess another way to ask that is, how are the plans, going back to our points that we just shared, how are the plans of God being carried out in your life today? That would be the spirit of Christmas, the Holy Spirit. How is God working through your life today? And how is your life glorifying God in this Christmas season? The question that I have is, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Let's not go through this Christmas season without truly knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the one who came for the purpose of saving His people from our sins. And then if you do know Him, are you glorifying Him? Are you acknowledging Him as you go throughout this Christmas season, and telling people about what you believe? If you've read my bulletin note, you see the intensity that I see in Christmas. So we may read the bulletin note together just for fun. But I want to read out of John 3, not 16, but 17 and 18. Because really, Jesus coming is a rescue mission, the most significant rescue mission of all time. But John 3, 17 and 18, if you want to follow me there, I hear some people flipping. We see the whole purpose of Christ coming for the redemption of mankind. And then we see Jesus here, he's a man, he's roughly 30-something years old here. And we know John 3:16, or I imagine many of you do know John 3:16. But Jesus continues in this conversation. He says, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world." He didn't bring to bring judgment, but he says, "But that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged." And he says, "He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That's the issue. The condemnation existed, that there was the need of rescue for people. And so God sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, into this world for our salvation and for our rescue. We won't turn here, and it's not going to be on the board, but write this down. John 6:49. Jesus said in this, He said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." Do you believe? A lot of Christmas movies, you'll see the word "believe" around, and they use them in ways that they're not referring to Jesus Christ. Believe, but do you believe in Jesus Christ? Now that you, do you understand why Christ came? And then here's, do you live in a way each and every day, not just at Christmas, but do you live in a way like you believe? Well, one thing we do here is we do not leave Jesus in the manger. We know that he is coming again. Do you believe? Do you believe?